You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Currents issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Stuck.
Not just any Stuck. Season 3 Stuck.
And as you know by now, I'm Rochelle Pereira from Equilibrium, the book.
And I'm Damian Bazzadonna from Situation, the gut.
This season, we've partnered with our friends at Synopsis, the leading news source for anyone in the media and entertainment business. And this is an ideal partnership for us because they're asking millennials and Gen Zers about unique situations in the workplace that have them stuck.
And we know that this is a group that has many burning questions, so we're super excited to tackle these issues head on.
You guys know the rules by now. Our producers, Katie, Peter, and Stephanie, will read your questions to us here in the studio, and we only have 5 minutes to think about it before weighing in.
Per usual, our responses are not edited or researched. They're instinctual and based on our experiences alone. So let's get started.
We heard from Karina, who recently started a job at a really fast-paced consultancy. She's stuck because she's really desperate to do a great job, but she's getting really mixed messages from her boss. Every time she feels like she's getting into a rhythm, like she's getting into a flow with her work, her boss asks her to respond to an email immediately. And so then that like throws her off. It throws off her confidence. It throws off her concentration on what she was doing. And she's really uncomfortable pushing back because it's such an early stage for her in terms of her career. She doesn't have that confidence yet. But she's really hearing two messages. One, stay in a task and work through your priority list. And then two, respond to clients immediately. She wants to know, is it possible to say something to her boss without seeming incompetent? And the other piece that was really sweet and endearing, she loves her boss. She thinks she's everything. And so she really wants to be like her too.
Well, that's nice. I love to get questions like that.
Yeah, that is nice.
And you love your boss? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it was like, it was really, it wasn't like a complaining. It was just like, how?
Yeah. But it's like a double bind, right? It's
yes.
Like, how do I work through my priorities in this thoughtful way? And I'm always online and responding to people.
Yeah.
How long has she been there?
She's really new, like 2 months.
Okay. And
did you say Gen Z?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't say it, but I guess she is Gen Z.
And just one point of clarification. You said about responding to clients immediately versus responding to this her boss immediately. Is it this? Are we saying the same thing there?
No. Her boss is saying, hey, respond now, like to this email, because the boss can kind of see it is overlooking because she's still in training mode.
Gotcha.
But she's also being told, work through your priority list, stay on task, then move to the next thing. And so those two
gotcha.
Don't go
together. And keep client and essentially, oh, yeah, okay, gotcha. And so the response specifically is related to the client relationship.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Season 3 of Stuck is brought to you in partnership with Synopsis, the leading news source for all things media and entertainment. So Damian, give me the lowdown. What are your top 5 reasons for subscribing to the newsletter?
Okay, Rochelle loves a great list, so here you go. Number 5, they have an amazing job board. If you work in the media business, this is the ultimate job board for you. Number 4, they deliver it early in the morning to my inbox. I think it comes in at like 4 in the morning, this like chock full of information that allows me to start my day understanding the media business before I walk into my first meeting. That's awesome. Number 3, it's no frills. It is primarily copy, which is fantastic. I take the train in the morning. I want something that loads quick, that I can read quick, that gives me the information I need. Number 2, it has an executive move section. How cool is that? It essentially allows you to know who got canned and who got hired. And number 1, and I know you're waiting for it.
Oh, I'm waiting.
Here it comes. Synopsis starts with a C.
Mind blown. Okay, I'm sold. I'm going to go to the website, and that is CYNOPSIS.com to subscribe to the newsletter. And we thank them very much for their support. I think that the work around flow state and how to get into flow state and how to stay into flow state, stay in that state, I think is really, really interesting stuff. Lots of cool studies emerging from the field of neuroscience around, like, how does your brain get into that zone? And I think that Karina is absolutely right that when she is in that flow state and she's being disrupted, that is really going to have a negative impact on her efficiency. So she's right about the way that it feels, because the science also backs that up.
Yeah.
I appreciate that it's also difficult, especially when you're brand new and your boss is saying, hey, keep responding to those emails, like how to navigate that conversation. But the requirement, or, you know, her driver around this is like spot on.
And this is an issue with pretty much every career. In some way, shape, or form. This is very common. Like in our company, if you're a developer, or you're a programmer or something like that, the ability to sit and focus on a set of tasks without being distracted by the unplanned is enormously beneficial, right? You'd just be way more effective, and being able to navigate the noise is hard. And so sometimes you try to say, how do we create boundaries? The challenging part is the art of the client relationship. And I can relate very specifically to the idea of the response, the quick response, the I got it. Because there's nothing worse than when someone sends you a note and you're just wondering, did they get it? Did it sit in the junk mailbox? You know, and I understand that could sound like a paranoid thing, but it's just there's something about like, got it. And she's been there 2 months, and her boss, which is fantastic that she likes and seems like has a great relationship with, this is all about rhythm. And it's about rhythm and expectations I think that managing the client relationship is the headwind out of all these things. It seems like she's not having a problem with the tasks that are being outlined. It's not like she's calling saying, I don't think I should be doing emailing and saying, I don't think I should have these tasks to do. She's saying the thing getting in the way is the client relationship. And the client relationship, as far as I'm concerned, the way that is managed is a hugely subjective, art form of mm-hmm. how we do it. I've seen some that can manage it with a phone call, one phone call, and keep someone happy for a week. I've seen some that do it in different ways, and email is their vehicle. To me, I'm like, part of it is, I think one way is to begin to converse with her boss more specifically around the art of the client relationship and his or her views towards doing that. Right? I think that's where I think I would start. Because it is that's the thing you can't control. We see this is very common in our own company.
It's so funny that I see why your brain would go there right away. Because yes, she does need to have a conversation around what are the response times that are reasonable for clients so that she's able to know that and stay within that. And of course, that's subjective and it depends on the client and depends on what their needs are and lots of nuance to that. That's why it's called an art, right?
Yeah, I would put the asterisk to that, though. It's not necessarily to clarify the response time. It's just trying to have a deeper understanding of what makes a good client relationship in that business. That's what I'm driving at, because if you look at the lens of like, what is it, cost, quality, speed to get 2 out of 3, there's a cost for going fast. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, there's a cost for waiting to get the right message. And so I think having an understanding of what that balance is, I think is important. It's definitely not like, is it 7 seconds or 30 seconds that I respond? It's just trying to get an understanding of what makes a happy customer and by the way, 2 months into a job, you're not going to have that rhythm. But the focus is, I think if she goes to her boss and sort of starts with a place because the answer to her question is the client relationship. That's the unplanned thing that's coming in, that's throwing her off. So it's really what understanding what makes a successful client relationship? What are the tenets that we would look at going, this is what makes a successful client at this organization? Then she'll have her own interpretation of how do we get there.
It's so fascinating to me that your head goes right there, because mine – is in a completely different spot on this particular question. So I think about what millennials have contributed to our workplace in both positive and negative ways, and what Gen Z is also asking of the workplace. And so I see this as actually an example of one of those tensions between millennials have created this, this kind of illusion that we can all multitask, that we can do lots of things at once, and that's an expectation of the workplace because of the way in which we're networked together, and that responsiveness is something that we expect. We expect to get something immediately. And I think that for better or for worse, that is a dynamic that millennials have given the workplace. And I think Gen Z has been taught something different to say, actually, what we know about our brain is that multitasking doesn't work. It lowers our efficiency. It creates more stress in our bodies and in the workplace. It is not actually what people, it's not aligned with client expectation because our clients are also changing. So, I actually think it's an interesting conversation around how do you build systems so that the client is happy, but also people are able to get work done in longer, more uninterrupted times. So like, how does she block out her calendar so that she can really work on the tasks in an uninterrupted way?
Yeah.
Can you have like an on-call person that like all of the client stuff would go to if she's in one of those blocks of time so that the client is getting a response or a holding message or, what are the ways that the workplace can be efficient but also recognize people need quiet time to be able to do their best work?
I agree. I think we're saying the same thing. I completely agree. And I think part of the point is she's been there 2 months to figure out how can you get there? You know what I mean? Like, because I agree. Like, so for example, putting on a client hat, a client has business issues and you're paid to solve them. That's all that matters, right? That's how they view it. So the question is, when we say to a client, here's how we would like to work together, here's how you get the most out of us, by communicating with us in this way, here's how you're going to benefit, right? Like always forcing back to the client benefit is just the way the professional services firms are designed. And you're protecting your employee, you're doing a whole bunch of different things within that in the right way. I just think anyone everyone's expectations of how they manage a client is different. Some people act paranoid and they drop everything when the client calls. Some are patient. But I think you got to get on alignment. I'm assuming that I would say the health of any business is the health of their employees and the health of their client relationships.
Yeah.
So this is just, all this is a balance of expectations of that.
Yeah.
And again, the cool thing is she likes her boss. So this is the management of the unpredictable is just what needs to be defined.
Yeah.
The guardrails. How are we talking about that? To me, this is relatively straightforward.
Yeah. I think that the conversation hopefully won't be too complicated for Karina, because if she goes back to her boss and says, hey, like, how do you do this? Because no doubt the boss has the same problem that she does. So it's like, what are the techniques that you use so that you're managing your workload and you're being responsive?
Yeah, I agree.
And so that it's more of like a teaching moment versus a, these are the things that I need in the workplace to be productive, which it's too early to have that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I think also, I've worked with clients before who say we have to respond to our clients within 30 minutes, because if our clients don't get a response in 30 minutes, like this will happen and this will happen and all of these like terrible things will happen. And I just call like bullshit on that. Yeah. I just don't believe it. I think, I don't know. Like if you're in the bathroom and you miss an email, you're going to come back from the bathroom. You're going to answer it.
Yeah.
But like the world is still going to turn.
Yeah.
Part of my frustration around this conversation is, I think, extending going back to the client management conversation. Mm-hmm. What is the right way that we treat our clients so that we're also given a little slack to be able to also manage our time and do the best work that we can for them?
Yeah. And the way I've always handled client relationship is do unto others as you want done to yourself. Like how would I have an issue? If you emailed an attorney, you emailed your accountant, you emailed somebody a question that was important to you, it's always nice to hear, got it. I don't need the answer. I will get back to you. Great. That's all I need to know. you will get back to me. And then get back to me. Like we talked about. Like this is one, you know, I'll get back to you on this date.
Yeah, acknowledgement.
Acknowledgement. I think that's a big one. And I think that the idea of the client relationships and the idea of management of that, acknowledgement is very far underrated. Because we go, well, we'll get to you. Like, what are you being so worried about? I think acknowledgement is way bigger than people realize in that client relationship. And so, and it gets lost. Somewhere it gets in the mix there. What, you want me to drop everything? It's like, no, just saying, I hear you. That's a very human response that people like to get. So
yeah. So I guess our fundamentally our advice to Karina is have a conversation with your boss, of whom you like, about how to navigate this, how does she navigate this, and what's most important to the client moving forward.
Yeah, and kudos to you, Karina. You're 2 months into a job, you're already identifying where a potential issue is and you're trying to address it. Good for you.
We hope you liked this episode, and if you did, please rate it on Apple Podcasts or leave us a comment or share it with somebody you think is stuck. This helps us reach listeners who could benefit from these conversations. And if you'd like your own question answered, go to our website, stuckpod.com, and submit a question.
Season 3 of Stuck is created by Equilibrium and Situation in partnership with our friends at Synopsys. It is produced by the wonderful Katie Byrne, Peter Ujicic, and Stephanie Connors. Big shout out to Miratone Studios for putting up with us again. Our theme music is Rockstar by Owen Mulcahy. We'll see you next week.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.